concerning his perfect purpose. I have selected to speak from the theme, from a lesson from 1 Kings chapter 17, 1 Kings chapter 17, and read in your hearing was verses 1 through verse number 7. I'd like to begin at verse 8, and I want you to read with me as I go through verse 16. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, now this is the word of the Lord coming to Elijah. It's already come to him concerning speaking to Ahab, concerning the fact that he was going to shut up the heavens and there would be no more rain, but at the word of Elijah. God has already told him to go and to hide himself by brook Cherith and to drink water from there, and that the ravens would come and feed him morning and evening. And so when the brook dried up, this is where verse 8 picks up. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to eat, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. See, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. Bring it to me, and afterward, make some for yourself and your son. Now that's the miracle right there. The miracle started right there. But anyway, let me move on. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went away, did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. If you look with me at verse number 4, the Bible says, and it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. I want you to underscore there. Then I want you to come with me to verse number 9. He says, watch this, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell, watch the word again, there. See, I have commanded a widow what? There, to provide for you. I want to use as a subject, based on our reading, it's in the form of a question, are you there? Are you there? Now, this shows that there is great purpose to be found of God there. God's perfect purpose is found there. Not only is his purpose found there, but God's power is there. Thirdly, God's provisions is there. So I ask again, I know Elijah was there, but my question is to all of us, are you there? Because I know that evidently Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5 understood there, because he had a song said, I'll be there. And so there is a very special place. Now, I want you to know that when you consider the background of our text, that the king of Israel is Ahab. Ahab, the son of Omri. God has used the first part of the kings to help us to see who was sitting on the throne in Israel, who was sitting on the throne in Judah. These two had been divided. But when it comes to Ahab, God turns and begins to focus his attention on a prophet by the name of Elijah. There is no one greater in the prophets who has ever walked across the pages of inspiration. Elijah was some kind of man of God. When you consider Ahab, the Bible says that Ahab did more sin and was more corrupt than any king that had ever gone before him. He married a woman by the name of Jezebel. And you know the story between Jezebel. But anyway, the point that I want you to see is that God had instructed them to, had instructed Elijah to go to them, because the children of Israel had substituted God for Baal. They had introduced Baal worship. Baal was the fertility god. Baal was the god that they had given allegiance to for rain, for prosperity, for the production of their crops. So whenever they had a good yield, they gave credit to Baal, worshiping an idol god. God told Elijah, you go and you stand in his court. Tell Ahab that it's not going to rain, that it won't rain, and it will rain again only at your word. So when Elijah told him what God had said, God immediately told Elijah to go hide yourself by the brook Cherith. And during the famine, God was going to take care of Elijah by the brook Cherith. I want you to know that this place, that place that he says, I will feed you there, Cherith, was a place where God's purpose was. It's so important that you and I understand that God's perfect purpose is always in a particular place. Every place where you find God's purpose, that purpose is always preceded by a command of God. God's purpose is seen in Elijah in several places. Number one, Elijah is standing before Ahab, carrying out God's purpose. Notice he's there because God had commanded him to go to Ahab. Then God told him to go to Cherith. That particular place, Cherith, was God's purpose for Elijah. But he did not go to Cherith until God told him to go to Cherith. When you think in terms of God's perfect purpose, understand you cannot be in God's perfect purpose until you have received word from God Almighty. Not only was he in Cherith, but then God told him to go to Zarephath after the brook dried up. Please know that when he went to Cherith, it was an 85-mile journey between that brook and Cherith. Here he is going to a place in Phoenicia, going to the land of the Phoenicians, not going to Israel, but he leaves the brook and goes to a foreign people. He goes there because that is God's perfect purpose. When you think in terms of God's purpose, here's what you got to understand. That purpose is always predicated with a command or with the word of Almighty God. I want to ask you, Elijah, why are you at the palace? The word of God told me to be there. I want to know, Elijah, why are you at the brook Cherith? Because God told me to go there. I want to know, why are you taking an 85-mile journey to Seraphim? Because God told me to leave and go to Zarephath. I want to know, why are you in Zarephath? Because God told me by his word to go to Zarephath. Why are you in a widow's house? Because I'm there because of the word of God. When I understand the purpose and the perfect purpose of God, I already know that you can never be in that purpose unless there is a word from God Almighty. If you are in God's will and God's plan and purpose, know you're there because of the word of God. I also know when it comes to God's perfect purpose, whatever you individually aspire for, whatever you individually plan for, your plans, your purpose, individual purpose, must sync with God's purpose. If you are desiring to do something other than what God is trying to do, then it's necessary for you to be in God's perfect purpose to put your plans aside and put your will and your aspiration in line with what God has asked. There is no such thing as being in the perfect purpose of God and you fitting God's purpose into your purpose, but you have to fit your purpose into God's purpose. Not only do I know that the purpose of God is associated with the word of God, not only do I know that the purpose of God is above all of our individual purposes, but I also know that you cannot be in the perfect purpose of God unless you are a person of faith. Why do I know that? Because the Bible is right. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Not Baal is, not Ahab is, not Jezebel is, not Elijah is. If you are in the perfect purpose of God, you have to be there by faith. Faith, ladies and gentlemen, simply means that God is. How can you be at Ahab's palace unless you believe that God is with you? How can you be at the brook Cherith unless you believe that God is there? How can you be on an 85-mile journey unless you believe that God is with you on the journey? How can you be in Zarephath unless you believe that God is with you? That tells me that God is not restricted to a particular place. This will of God, this perfect purpose of God, is more about a relationship with God than it is about a particular place. If you have a relationship with God and you're being prompted by the word of God and you have put your will aside and you're seeking to do the will of God, then you are always caught in the perfect purpose of Almighty God. That means that you have to walk by faith. Listen to this. Well, let me go back to Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and watch this, and is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. In other words, if I am there by faith, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 1, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to, well, in Hebrews 11, 1, the Bible said faith is the substance, here it is. Now faith is the substance of things that are what? Hoped for. It is the what? The evidence of things that are not seen. I have no idea how things are going to turn out for me when I go to Ahab, but I'm going because God told me to go. I'm going because I know God is with me. I'm going because I just believe that God is going to turn it into my favor. I'm going to the brook Kerith because I know that God is going to be there with me. I have no idea about all of the circumstances, but I'm going because God said it. Here the Bible is right. So many of us need to understand that faith is associated with carrying out the will of God. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God is the one who told you to go. God is the one who has asked you to be a part of his purpose. When I think in terms of this idea, God wants us to know, based on Isaiah 55 and verse number 8, God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Never think that the perfect purpose of God is about your thoughts. It's not. It's about God's thoughts. It's broader than you, and it's broader than me. You're not there because you made the choice. You're there because God made the choice for you. Well, not only that, but I want to move to my next point, and that is that not only is it a place of God's perfect purpose, but there is a place of God's power. Wherever God tells us to go, know that the power of God is there. God never allows us to go without the benefit of his power. When you think in terms of the ravens, those ravens, ladies and gentlemen, that are coming to feed Elijah, it's by the power of Almighty God. Him drinking from the brook is by the power of Almighty God. God's power is seen. God is sovereign. This is what you got to know when you're involved in the perfect purpose of God, that God is a sovereign God. Say it with me. He's a what kind of God? Sovereign God, which means that he is absolute in his power. It means that he is in total control. He controls all situations, persons, and things. He controls all persons, situations, and things. When you are in the perfect purpose of God, God's power to control those environments is now there. That's why he was telling Ahab that, I'm telling you, Ahab, you think Baal is the one that's bringing rain, but I want you to know that it's the God who lives, whom I serve, is the one who has the power over rain. I also want you to know that God will never send you to Kerith unless his power is there in order to take care of you. When you think in terms of God's power, the power was not in Ahab. The power was not in Baal. The power was not in Jezebel. The power was not in Elijah. The power is in God himself. Know that this is God's power when you go where God asks you to go. Here's something else that you need to see. Go with me to Psalm 62 and verse number 11. Psalm 62 and verse number 11. The Bible says, God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that what? Power belongeth unto whom? Power belongeth unto God. Not only Psalm 62:11, but go with me to Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 11. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse number 11. Watch what the Bible says. Thus shall ye say unto them. Notice what it says. The gods that have not made the heavens and the earth. Even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth. Talking about God. He is the one who hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom. And he has stretched out the heavens by his discretion. Are you with me? When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightning with rain. He bringeth forth the wind out of the treasures of heaven. The power always comes when you are in God's perfect purpose and God's perfect place. When you do that, then the power of God is activated in your life. I remember when Jesus was speaking to the rich young ruler, and he desired to follow him and have a place in heaven. Jesus said, go sell all that you have. Then when he refused to sell all that he had, Jesus made the statement. He said that it's hard for a rich man to go to heaven. And then many of them said, but watch what Jesus says in verse number 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. God wants you to know that when you're where I ask you to go, go on to Ahab. Don't be ashamed. Go before him and tell him the truth. Tell him that you represent God. Tell him that you are a servant of God. Go before the brook Cherith. Go there and let him give you water from the brook. Go there. Let the ravens come in the morning. Let them come in the evening. And there he will take care of them. Because God says there's nothing that is impossible with him. So if he moves you from one place to another by his will, that God who was there with you where you were at Cherith will also be there with you in Zarephath. That's because God is a powerful God. Then thirdly, as we look at the third, there is a place of God's, there is the place of God's provision. So not only does God have his purpose, not only does God have his power, but his provisions are always where his perfect purpose is. Where God guides, he provides. The way God provides often is unusual and out of the realm of the ordinary. The brook and the supply from Ahab, I know, was out of the ordinary, but God will supply. What's interesting, when you go back and look at how that God supplies and how God has the provisions, when Ahab went to the brook, God said, I need the ravens to feed you there. Now, ravens, ladies and gentlemen, they were like a crow. They were scavengers. They eat dead animals, and they eat off of the carcasses of dead animals. Now, you ask the question, why would God want to provide for Elijah by bringing ravens and a crow who eats scavenger meat or eat the carcasses of dead things? Well, if you're going to provide for yourself, then you provide a dove and let a dove bring it. But if I'm going to do the providing, you're going to get it from me however I bring it to you. And what I like about God is that God always does the unusual. God never comes the way that you think he ought to come. You're going to have to learn that God will provide for you in ways that you have no idea. What I like about this is that I also believe that God was also allowing those ravens not to bring dead animals from the standpoint of unclean animals. Everything that they brought Elijah had to be kosher, had to be that which was according to the law of Moses. God is a God who's powerful enough to be able to bring a raven and allow the raven to bring the kind of provision that the man needed. I tell you something else that I noticed, that God didn't give him a week's supply of food. He had to wait on God in the morning, wait on God in the evening. He didn't tell him what time the ravens were coming. He just told him, they'll feed you two times a day. I know many of us need to understand when we're involved in God's purpose, we want to dictate how things are going to be. But God is showing us from this story that I will provide for you, but I'm going to provide for you my way, and my way is the best way. Allow God to do that. God allowed that brook to dry up, and that's interesting, because why would God take him to a brook
and then let the water dry up in the brook. I don't believe that Elijah, that came upon him suddenly, that the water was drying up. I believe strongly that every day that he drank from that brook, as hot as it was and without rain, he was seeing that that brook was drying up. And I know that if Elijah is like us, we would have been saying, God, now you told me to come. Now why are you allowing this brook to dry up from the water that I need? You say you're a powerful God. You're an almighty God. Why don't you let this water last? Are you with me? But God purposely let that water dry up. Every time, notice now, it's going to be a contrast between the oil and the meal and the water at Kerith. That water was plentiful and then dried up. But at Zarephath, you'll find that the oil was already empty and then God made it full. Isn't that something about God? God is a wise God. God is not going to ever deal with us the way that we think, but God is trying to build up our faith and build up our trust in him. If you ever get where God wants you to be, if you ever get in that perfect will of God, go there by the word of God. Do it because God said it. Stand there and then watch how God will provide for you. Water from the brook. When it dried up, after it dried up, then God came to him. Didn't come to him before, came to him after the water dried up in the brook. Notice God. God is working with his faith. When the brook dried up, think about this. That means that he had no water on his way from the brook to Zarephath. That means that I'm going thirsty. I'm going, but you know, God is a wise God. No wonder when he first got into the city, he asked the woman, bring me a cruse of water. That's because the man had been thirsty. Every time you allow God to provide for you, he'll never provide for you the way you think he ought to provide, but he'll always provide and he'll always be on time when he does provide for you. He brings it the way he wants to bring it, but he's always doing it for our good and for our benefit. I know many of us need to understand that God provided for him with the widow. God went before him. Watch, I'm just talking about provisions now. He was on that journey, on that 85-mile journey, but God had already gone to the city. God was already in the city. God had already prepared the widow for Elijah. So by the time that Elijah hit the city limit, God had already prepared that widow for him. First widow that he saw, first woman that he saw, he asked her, and that happened to be the very woman that God had provided for him while that drought was going in the life of his people. That's because God is a mighty God. No wonder the psalmist was right when David wrote the Psalm 23. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me, watch this now, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord is with me. If you know the Lord is with you, whenever you get in his perfect place, in his perfect will, then the Lord will always, his power will be there, his provision will be there, and you don't have anything to worry about. Never think that it's going to be the way you think it is. Therefore, I'm asking the question, are you there? If you're there, then God is providing for you. If you're there, you are experiencing the power of God in your life. As I close, I must make application. Are you aware that God's purpose always has his power and always has his provisions? Always know this about God. If God has his perfect purpose, that God has his what? Power. If God has his perfect purpose, not only does he have his power, but he also has his provision. If you want his provision, you got to be in his perfect purpose. If you want his power, you got to be in his perfect purpose. If you want to know how God operates, look at the world in which we live. Look at planet Earth. Look at the universe. Out of all of the universe, there's only one place where God has his purpose. That is planet Earth. When you go out into the universe and explore it, there's no other planet on or in this universe that has the purpose of God, like planet Earth. When you come to planet Earth, not only do you see that this is designed for God to carry out his will in the lives of his people. God, when he made heaven and earth, God put man on earth. God didn't put him on Mars. God didn't put him on Jupiter. God put him on earth. Somebody ought to ask me, why is God putting man on earth? That's because it's on earth where I have my perfect purpose. It's on earth where my power is. It's on earth where my provisions are. If you don't believe me, go to Mars, no provision. Go to Mars, no power. Why? Because his power is on earth. His purpose is on earth. His provisions are on earth. Water is on earth. Food is on earth. Go to Mars, you better take some food from earth. Am I right about it? Why? Because God's perfect purpose is on the earth. When you think in terms of your life, you're going to have to understand, Brother Gibbs, I would like to be there. I'd like to be where God's purpose is. I'd like to be where his power is. I'd like to be where his provisions are. I'm glad you asked me. Let me help you. His purpose is in Christ. His purpose is in the church of Christ. If you want to have his power and his provisions spiritually, you got to be in Christ and you have to be in the church of Christ. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians 1 and verse number 3 that all spiritual blessings are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All of his spiritual blessings are in one place, and that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Not only is his purpose in the church or in Christ, but it's in the church of Christ. Amen. How do you know, Brother Gibbs? In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 9, the Bible tells us how that all the principalities and powers would understand his manifold wisdom in the church, and it's according to his eternal purpose. God, from the beginning, had an eternal purpose. His purpose was in Christ. His purpose was in the church of Christ. Somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, I want God's power to work in my life. I want his provisions spiritually to work in my life. Only one place that's in Christ. Only one place that's in the church of Christ. Somebody say, well, that's mighty narrow. I tell you, Kirith was narrow. Zarephath was narrow. Amen. Am I right about it? Amen. God has always been narrow. Earth in the universe is narrow, but that's the way your God operates. God only has one person, one place where his power and his provisions are. If you want to be in that perfect place, that perfect purpose, I beg you to come to Christ. I beg you to get in the church of Christ. Somebody said, well, Brother Gibbs, I just think that's mighty narrow of you all to keep preaching about one church. Well, I'm telling you, I'm here by the word of God. If you can change the word of God, then I'll change. If you can show me that there's something else other than the church of Christ where a man can be saved, then I'll preach that. But until you can show me that, I'll have to stay where God's perfect purpose is, and that's in the church of Christ. Somebody said, well, Brother Gibbs, there are many churches. There were many brooks, but there's only one where God was going to allow the ravens to feed. Am I right about it? That's always been God's purpose, always been God's way, always been his will. God has done it before, and he's doing it again. Bible says, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. Am I right about it? Amen. But broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there go in thereat and are destroyed. So I'm simply saying to you, if you want God's perfect purpose, you're going to have to be as Elijah. Go there by the word of God. Go there, ladies and gentlemen, knowing that that relationship with God and his word is what makes the perfect place and purpose of God. Go there knowing that God's power will be there. Go there knowing that God's provisions will be there in everything that we do. When you do that, then I know you're lined up with God's perfect purpose. Will you do that? If you're here this morning, I pray that you will make a decision that I want God to bless my life.
Amen.
If he did it for Elijah, he'll do it for you. God is no respecter of person. God will do it, but only in Christ and only in the church that you can read about in your Bible. Will you come this morning? Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus Christ said, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sin. Where I am, you cannot come. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except he come by me. Jesus Christ is very firm about that. You cannot be saved. You will not be blessed. You will not have the power of God in your life unless you come to him.
Amen.
And that church, ladies and gentlemen, is the place where the Lord places us once we get into Christ. You stay in that church, stay faithful in that church, and let God show you how he'll provide every step of your way. He'll take care of your personal life. He'll take care of your home. He'll take care of your business. You make sure that your business and your life is in sync with God's purpose, and then watch what God would do. Somebody said, well, we're getting ready to go in a recession. That don't matter to God, because it was a recession in Zarephath, and God turned around and blessed them in the midst of a recession.
Amen.
Don't let the world dictate how you respond. Let your God dictate.
Amen.
You stay with God. Stay in his will. Say, well, Brother Gibb, I'm having a problem in my family. God is a great fixer for family problems. He knows how to go in there and work things out. That's why I'm begging you, stay in his will, stay in his perfect purpose, and watch what God will do. If you're not there, you come by hearing his word, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, confessing him to be the Son of God, buried with him in the water grave of baptism, which is for the remission of sin. When you get out of that watery grave, you're in Christ, you're in the church of Christ. You stay there and watch what God will do. Will you come? If you strayed from God, maybe you're not at Kirith like you should be. Maybe you're not at Zarephath where you should be. If you're not in Christ, you're not in the church, I'm begging you to come. Rededicate yourself. Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come? Will you come?
Any way you bless me, Lord, I'll be satisfied. Any way you bless me, Lord, Lord, I'll be satisfied.
Any way you bless me, Lord,
you know that I'll be satisfied.
Any way you bless me, Lord,
I'll be satisfied.
Oh,
any way you bless me, Lord,
you know that I'll be satisfied.
Any way you bless me,
Lord, oh, I'll be satisfied.
Any way
you bless me, Lord,
you know that I'll be satisfied.
Any way
you bless me, Lord,
I'll be satisfied.